talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. On Devil Radio, our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Some good news out of Washington, D.C. for a change. You know, the Democratic Party and people in general have talked about pursuing statehood for the District of Columbia for a long time. And everybody yawns and gives lip service and then looks away and does something else. Well, there are signs right now, very hopeful signs, that the Democrats in Congress will push a vote on D.C. statehood before too long. And here's the issue. Washington, D.C. is not a state. Theoretically, that's what they say. It's not a state. As a result, it doesn't have voting senators, voting members of Congress. It does have a presidential vote and some electors. Wyoming has something like, what, 600,000 or 700,000 people in it, and it has two senators. California has 40 million people, and they have two senators. The senators from Wyoming represent 700,000 people. Senators from California represent 40 million people. Well, if Wyoming, and frankly, Rhode Island, and small states that have one congressman, because you only get one congressman for roughly every 700,000 people, I mean, the member of the House of Representatives. So that is, some of these states are anomalies. They have two senators and one congressman. Wisconsin has two senators, and we have eight congressmen, because each 700,000 group gets a member of the House of Representatives. So what is the harm in making Washington, D.C. a state? These are American citizens. They vote for president. There are electors assigned to Washington, D.C. Why not also voting senators? They have observers, but voting senators and members of the House. And the reason is the resistance has been from the Republican Party. The fear is that if Washington, D.C. is made a state, the two senators will be overwhelmingly Democratic. So will they get one member of the House, like Wyoming. That would probably be a Democrat also. Well, for one thing, this belief in the Republican Party that if you have a what's now a blue area or an area with a lot of minority voters, that therefore you are going to lose it, is just self-defeating. Self-defeating. The Republican Party started out as the radical left party under Abraham Lincoln. The Republican Party does not need to simply cede any vote, minority vote or any other vote. Up until the election of John Kennedy and up until the civil rights movement of the 60s, the Democratic Party in the South was a Dixiecrat party. Many African Americans in the South voted Republican. There were, if you went to a Republican, and I did back in the 60s, not down South, but in Connecticut. And there'd be a number of older African-American people who showed up at the Republican Party meetings because their entire memory going back decades was that was the party that protected them and the Dixiecrats did not. Now, things have changed. Obviously, things have changed. I understand it. But in this last election, now Donald Trump lost by 7 million votes and he lost overwhelmingly, of course, in urban areas. But his margins among African-American men and Latino men were slightly better for him than they had been in 2016, even against Joe Biden. And this is Donald Trump, who was a crook, a Russian agent, and a thief. But the Republican Party if they simply change their venomous ways, get rid of their QAnon base, they don't need QAnon, and restore themselves to things that Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse and others are talking about, do not have to yield any vote. Anyway, whether they like it or not, now that the Democrats are in control of Congress, certainly until 2022, and I hope beyond that, they have hearings right now, and it looks as if it's going to be on this talking stage. So stay tuned, stand by. But it looks as if that may be submitted for a vote. And there'll be litigation. There'll be constitutional objections and, you know, admitting a new state, blah, 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 blah. I'm not sure it won't get some Republican votes. But stay tuned. It's a very exciting development in Washington, D.C. Going back to Wisconsin, here is an absolutely bizarre set of statements from Rebecca Clayfish, the former lieutenant governor, who's now running for governor, wanting the nomination against Tony Evers. To start with, over a couple of days ago, her communications director compared Tony Evers to Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, let me tell you something. I mean, there's some things that are really beyond the pale. Taking a mass murderer like Jeffrey Dahmer, who frankly was kinky and sadistic in what he did in terms of killing people, comparing them to a governor of the opposite party, to me would disqualify a gubernatorial candidate for whom that communications director worked, unless you fired him. Not only didn't they fire him, but the Republican Party of Wisconsin communications director retweeted it. The Republican Party in Wisconsin has not only abandoned its Lincoln roots, but it's even abandoned its Lee Dreyfus and Tommy Thompson roots, Scott McCallum roots. Any kind of plausible, reasonable, patriotic Republican Party really has been eliminated in the state. There may be a few somewhere. The voters are good. They're innocent. They're getting hoodwinked by this, but there you have it. And then Rebecca Clayfish gave a speech over the weekend to a bunch of conservatives, and she said, quote, go into battle and do hand-to-hand combat. Go into battle and do hand-to-hand combat. Now, let me tell you something. First of all, the only person who is entitled to say something like that, in my view, is a combat veteran. And Rebecca Clayfish is not a combat veteran, and she's not even a veteran. The other one who said something like that was Rudy Giuliani, who's not a combat veteran and not a veteran. And they very blithely say, like, go into battle and do what? Hand-to-hand combat with what? Bayonets? I mean, this kind of violent talk, I think that she is overstating her role. Her role from Republican donors is the pageant role. Sit in the back seat of a car with a plastic tiara, drop top, Cadillac, and wave slowly in the pageant wave to the left and wave slowly in the pageant wave to the right. And people will say, that is a good candidate. She looks like she will be obedient to the donors. And that's what we want. That's what they want with her. They're not asking her to lead anybody into battle. If you think of the last English king that fought and died in battle was Richard against the usurper Henry in the 1480s. The last American president, we've had American presidents who served in combat. The last one who really served in combat, John F. Kennedy, George H.W. Bush. Others have been veterans. Jimmy Carter was a submarine sailor. But the ones who really did, if you want hand-to-hand combat, were, believe it or not, Rutherford Hayes and William McKinley. Ulysses Grant, president. Remember at the Battle of Antietam before he took over the army. In that army of the Union were Colonel Rutherford B. Hayes and Sergeant William McKinley. These are the guys who can talk about hand-to-hand combat, and the guys that aren't hand-to-hand combat don't want to hear about it and talk about it anymore. This is shooting her mouth off. This is shooting her mouth off. Rebecca Clayfish and the Republicans, if they're floating a pageant candidate to show obedience to donors, drop the business of the hand-to-hand combat and going into battle. Doesn't come out right. It isn't right. So I don't think we need it. That's my opinion, but I think that the proof is in the pudding. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, and that is what is going to happen. We have another nut job in the House. There's a guy named Andrew Clyde from Georgia. Now, you don't hear his name quite a bit. You hear people like Nunez and Gohmert and Gossert. You hear Lauren Boebert and you hear Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've gone through the litany of shame. The litany of shame. Andrew Clyde belongs on that wall. Andrew Clyde belongs on that wall from Georgia. Going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. When we get back, we are going to discuss why Andrew Clyde is on the wall of shame. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.